Boris Yeltsin and Mikhail Gorbachev have agreed to dissolve the Soviet Union within the next 2 weeks, and Gorbachev's hold on power seems to be disappearing along with the Soviet Union. Commentator David Gurevich is a Soviet emigre who left Russia in 1976. He has these thoughts.
I can't go out these days without someone asking me, how does it feel to be from a country that no longer exists? In itself, it's no catastrophe, I tell them. First, I'm a true blue American citizen. I'm worried about the IRS, not the KGB. Second, the change has not happened overnight. Things have been moving in that direction for 5 years by now. All right, they say. What about Gorbachev? What's he gonna do now? Ah, Mikhail Sergeyevich Gorbachev. That's another matter. I must say, I've always been in two minds about him. His entire career was a steady climb of a functionary, loyally towing the party line, being ruthless to subordinates, and obedient with superiors. When I was in Russia, I saw his kind only on TV, on top of Lenin's mausoleum. Otherwise, I felt their presence when Moscow police stopped all the traffic so that one of their long black limos could rush past their humble subjects without giving us a thought. With that in mind, how could I share American media's mindless Gorbomania? But then strange things began to happen. Russian people were actually opening their mouths, shyly at first, but then more and more boldly. Then East European puppet governments fell like dominoes, and not one Soviet tank was ordered into action. I've tried hard to be skeptical about Gorbachev's part in it. I knew the economic situation was so bad that the Soviets simply could not afford to police Europe anymore. When I went back to Russia in 89, I found a groundswell of anti-Gorbachev feeling that was far more intense than Western Gorbomania. Wait a minute, I cried. Isn't it Gorbachev who ultimately let you get away with all this criticism? I suddenly found myself defending him. But the Russians were not mollified. Some wanted to put the gas pedal to the floor and race into a Western democracy. Others wanted to make a U-turn and go back to Brezhnev's or even Stalin's days when there was still sausage in the stores. Few people gave a damn about the Berlin Wall. But it was not until I met my father after 15 years away that I understood something. He was crushed by all the revelations about the injustices of the past that filled Soviet papers. His entire world, where a shining communist future was right around the corner, if we just work a little harder, comrade, his world was falling apart. Through him, I understood Gorbachev, whose world was also falling apart, and he was the one who picked the first rock out of its foundation. He must have been surprised. All he wanted to do was to remodel. Blinded by his own ideology, he did not realize that the house that Lenin built was a house of cards. Well, are we all such great architects? I see him now on TV, fidgeting, muttering, evading reporters' eyes, evading their questions. A shadow of the Gorby who only a few years ago would stop his limo in Times Square to kiss babies and shake hands. I feel for him. You know the line, the last person to leave would please turn off the light. How would you feel if you were that person? He's not a visionary. He's just a man who tried to do some good. He's not leaving his job a happy man, but leave he must. Just like his entire generation must give room to the next one, unbound by the communist dogma. The world of Gorbachev and my father was an unfair one, but for them to see it thrown out onto the scrap heap of history is a drama of an entire generation. And now that no communist secretary can deny me or anybody a right to speak out, a right to have a job, a right to do what I want with my life, I think maybe I can afford some sympathy for these people.
David Gurevich is the author of From Lenin to Lenin,